You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 28th, 2022, and we're streaming live right now at rumble.com. In addition, listening to the program, if you're available and you can go to your computer wherever, your phone, and go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA, all one word, you'll be joining us in studio. Glad to have you. If you can't, you can look at it later because it'll be put up as a podcast, as are all of our programs. Russian President Putin is warning any country interfering in Ukraine would be met with, quote, a lightning fast response from Moscow. In the meantime, Ukraine's military said Russian forces are exerting intense fire on multiple fronts. UN General Secretary is meeting with President Zelensky in Kyiv today after he met with Putin in Moscow yesterday. The German vice chancellor said it must try the unrealistic to break away from Russian gas. That's a day after Moscow was accused of blackmailing by halting gas supplies to Poland and Bulgaria because they weren't going to be paying in rubles. Hungary said it will make the payments in rubles. North Atlantic Treaty Secretary says that the alliance is ready to support Ukraine entering NATO at some point, and then also said the Russian invasion in Ukraine could, quote, drag on and last for months and years. The White House sends out a warning. The White House warning that Iran is only weeks from a nuclear breakout. Secretary of State Blinken says it's just down to a matter of weeks before they have their nuclear weapon. White House Press Secretary Saski doing the same thing. We knew it's getting close, but now it's this close. This definitely worries us. And they say if we go back, since the Trump administration ceased U.S. participation in the deal, Iran has accelerated its nuclear program. So there you have it. Put the blame on Trump. Yes, Trump pulled out of that stupid deal because there was no guarantees that they weren't still proceeding with building nuclear weapons because we're not going to be allowed access to their facilities. At the same time, there's a statement, or rather an interview that's been released involving a former Iranian lawmaker, and he was asked, was he aimed to actually build a bomb instead of maybe help the people? And he said, and I'm quoting him, he said that was the aim of the entire regime, was always to build a bomb, 100%. That's direct from a former Iranian lawmaker. Well, we have Mayorkas still testifying for members of Congress, trying to explain why things are so bad at the border and why they're going to get worse, but he's got a plan. Part of that plan involves busing and flying more illegals to various parts of the country. And he claims they'll all be properly vetted and tested. That's what he claims, but there's no way they can do that with the number of Border Patrol agents they have already. Do you remember not too long ago the Biden administration was asking for volunteers from other departments to go down the border and help with that? Come May 23rd, when they drop Title 42, they're expecting minimum of 20,000 a day coming across. You think you're going to have enough personnel to do that on a 24-hour basis, day after day after day? No, of course you're not. So Homeland Security Secretary, ranking member, Congressman John Katko, Republican of New York, said Mayorkas' testimony does not match reality. There's not a single Border Patrol agent who says anything other than that the border's out of control. Congressman Crenshaw, Republican of Texas, said Mayorkas needs to have a reckoning with himself. And then we have the Department of Homeland Security in the midst of everything else, not protecting our border, but you know what they're going to do now? They are setting up a disinformation governance board to combat misinformation online. They would have you believe that we've been working on this anyway, but the timing with Musk buying Twitter, they decided to step it up and make it clear, and the person they appoint to oversee it, I'm going to have that coming up in the next segment. This is going to be propaganda direct from the Biden administration. Stand by.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone. And Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issues solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air. So my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Beale Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
We have just established a mis- and disinformation governance board in the Department of Homeland Security to more effectively combat this threat, not only to election security, but to our homeland security. We are disseminating information to the secretaries of state. We are counseling them and providing resources to ensure better physical security. We are addressing all aspects of election security, given, of course, the midterm elections that are upon us and the fundamental integrity of our democratic processes that is at stake.
Mayorkas, Alejandro Mayorkas, the head of the Department of Homeland Security, was asked a question by a member of Congress, Rhode Island Democrat. What are you doing to make sure our elections are secure, especially this time around? So it gave him a perfect opportunity to say, we're working on that, but we're working on everything else. And making it clear, they're setting up a disinformation governance board. Relabel that censorship, because that's what it's going to amount to. Now, they want you to believe that they've been working on this for some time, and they may have, but with Elon Musk buying Twitter and all the leftists crying and weeping and gnashing of teeth, we will no longer be able to contain those deplorables getting on Twitter and saying things, and we got to make sure they're not on there selling racism and hatred and snake oil. We can do it, but they can't. As we mentioned the other day, Musk buying Twitter breaks down the monopoly of big tech. I want to get into more details on this Department of Homeland Security, but I want to give you a quick read on something to show you how things play out. Riddle me this. And if you're watching us at rumble.com live right now, it's very easy to do, by the way. Go to rumble.com, enter in the search engine Larry Connors, USA, one word. You'll take us right here and bring you into the studio. And you see, and I'm pointing right at you as I ask this question. Riddle me this. How many times did you hear Senator Elizabeth Warren or any Democrat call for controls for big tech? Anybody, hello, help. Anybody out there? Oh, I just want to make sure these folks out there are listening and watching, because how many times has she or any Democrats asked for controls on big tech? How about you want to start with zero? But looky. Just yesterday, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat, comes forward and says on MSNBC, the fact that Tesla CEO Musk is buying Twitter shows America needs, quote, rules of the road for big tech. Ari Miller Belber was questioning her. He's the same one we had on yesterday, talking about we have to be concerned now about, that one of these big tech platforms could swing an election. You mean like you did last few times? Is that what you're saying? But anyway, he's asking Senator Warren, you have warned about the growing power of big tech. What do you see in Elon Musk purchase of Twitter? I don't remember when she's ever really warned it, but I'll accept it. But she goes on to say, well, first thing we need is a wealth tax in America. That's right, tax the rich. That's going to solve everything. And because Elon has so much money, tax him hard. She's going to do the same thing to Jeff Bezos, who owns Washington Post, who writes glowing articles about Senator Warren. And then she said, we need rules of the road. There are going to be rules. Like I said, the only question is, will Elon Musk decide all the rules by himself in a dark room, or is it going to be the case that we're going to decide this as a country? We're going to make rules in a democracy. Woman, where the heck have you been? That's what we've been dealing with for the last several years, from Facebook, YouTube, Google, Twitter, the rest of them. You say something they don't like or is contrary to what they think, or that they think you're pushing disinformation because you're talking about somebody you know that got a COVID shot and they got really sick. Oh, that's disinformation. No, it's not. I know they got sick shortly after getting it. Now, whether it's directly related to COVID, I can't tell you, but that's a fact. And people dying up, people having troubles with it. And you couldn't even say that once you have the shot, you'll never get. I mean, that you'll be absolutely perfect. You'll be protected, because that was also going to be wrong. I couldn't even put up on my tweet account if I said, join me, I'll tell you how to spell COVID without them putting a little notation. For real COVID information, go to this source. That's why we're not on YouTube live anymore, because they didn't like some of the stuff I had to say, even when I'm quoting someone else. So now comes this Department of Homeland Security. I would say Department of Censorship. And in fact, when Senator Josh Hawley, Republican of Missouri, saw this being announced, he issued a letter quickly denouncing it. He wrote to Mayorkas, at first I thought this was satire. Surely no American administration would ever use the power of government to sit in judgment on the First Amendment speech of its own citizens. Sadly, I was mistaken. Rather than protecting our border or the American homeland, you've chosen making policing America's speech your priority. This new board is almost certainly unconstitutional, should be dissolved immediately. And then he jumped on the person that's been appointed to head it up, Nina Jankowicz. I was going to share with you anyway. She is a radical Democrat. She had suggested that Hunter Biden's laptop from hell was Russian disinformation. And just last week, she referred to a Musk purchasing Twitter, being concerned, saying free speech absolutists were taking over more platforms. Free speech absolutists. Put me in that category. I am for free speech. Even if I don't like what you're saying, it's free speech. And then she also added, well, she put in a tweet back in 2019, let's regulate social media, but let's do it with proper thought and consultation with the nation's best interest at heart. She's claiming, of course, that the Democrats, the libs, would have the nation's concern when it's really going to be their concern. Which brings us to an example of when they try to keep selling you and shoving down your throat nonsense, how it turns around and bites them in the rear end. Brian Stelzer was talking about how CNN and NNN Plus just got pulled and, you know, it had such a great debut and they spent millions upon millions preparing for it and getting ready. And so he was on yesterday explaining what happened.
Here at CNN, new ownership decided to shut down the CNN Plus streaming service less than a month after it was launched by the previous management team. The U-turn was front page news, stunning news, and painful news for everyone involved. Years of development possibly down the drain. Some of the shows may never be seen. Hundreds of staffers may be laid off, though the company is trying to place many of them in new jobs.
Yeah, where are they going to go? Where could they go? You know, they could go right to the mothership, CNN, maybe. Maybe they could go to one of these other social media outlets. Maybe they could be appointed as members of the disinformation government body. But Stelter again says the reason CNN and Plus did not fail because of politics and people waking up and saying, you don't give us straight news. You lie to us when you're trying to. And when you are telling us a commentary, you're on the wrong side of the fence every time. And so, yes, we have no interest in what you're doing. I don't care how polished you make it. But Brian Stelter says none of those reasons that you just heard Larry say were correct.
Amid these bruising headlines, folks are trying to make sense of it, and some partisans are leaping to predictable talking points about politics. But the truth is, this was a corporate move. This CNN Plus service was doomed because of the timing of a merger and clashing streaming strategies. The new owner of CNN, Warner Brothers Discovery, has big plans to combine multiple streaming platforms to make one big challenger for Netflix.
Yeah, and of course, Netflix is having its own difficulties lately. When CNN knew that under Warner it was going to be shifting ownership under losing and not under Warner anymore, but then moving under Discovery, they knew they had to put this on the air as fast as they could. They rushed it out. And they hired some big names, put a lot of big names out there, folks that we've mentioned before, people like Chris Wallace. And others. And Chris Wallace has said, you know, it's going to be a good program. It's going to be great and everything else. But Stelter insists again, the thing did not die on the vine, as it were, or get halfway out the door because of politics. It was strictly a business decision. And, of course, he had an echo chamber guest panel with him. Here's response of one of them.
At the end of the day, this is a business decision. And, you know, there are debates about whether or not journalism should be treated as a business versus a public service, but it is a business for better or for worse. And so to your point, as the new owner, do you come in, see something that's not working and continue to throw good money after bad? And it appears that they made the decision not to continue doing that, that they did not think this was in the best long-term interest for the company. But again, from the outside looking in, I am very curious to see what they're going to do with all of this talent. I mean, these are huge names with huge followings. Where are they going to go?
Yeah, where are they going to go? I don't know, you know. I truly am sorry for anybody who loses their job. Because in many cases, they probably have a family. And even if it's a same-sex family, I have empathy for them losing their job. But, of course, they're also the ones out there telling you that the economy is doing just great. Joe Biden says, oh, I think everything's okay. I'm going to get into that in the next segment briefly. But so they should have no problem. There are a lot of jobs out there. But, of course, how much money, and then is it going to make up the difference? So, but it's not the politics, they say. It was simply a money decision. It was not a money decision. And as we got still a minute or so to go in this segment, I wish I had another minute or so. Yeah, we got 1 minute still to go. 1 minute still to go. Yeah, we got another minute. So that will give me some time to point out to you that this government disinformation governance board is simply going to be a censor. And the person being appointed, as I mentioned to you earlier, Jankowicz, she said again about disinformation, she said, we are going to make sure that we have the proper information getting to the American public. If you believe that, you're lost. You're far, far lost, and I don't know if we can ever bring you back. Then you want to hear what Joe Biden had to say about your children, when we come up.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Oh, one other little note I did not get a chance to add about CNN Plus pulling the plug. They're actually ending their historic run today. Today. They were going to run for two more days till April 30th. I guess they thought, why bother? It's probably a good idea. They couldn't even make it for the full month. They couldn't even make it once they said they're going to sign off. They couldn't reach that point. So here's what President Biden said to some teachers during a Teacher of the Year event at the White House. Listen carefully, please. Talking to the teachers and the children that they teach, and he said, talking about the children, the students, they are not someone else's children. They're our children. They are the kite strings that literally lift our national ambitions aloft. And he said, they're not somebody else's children. They're your children when they're in your classroom. No. They're not the teacher's children. The teacher is supposed to be taking care of them and watching over them and educating, not indoctrinating. But again, the Biden attitude is, they're your children. You can teach and do what you want with them. So the COVID-19 relief package that the Republicans refused to support, the American Rescue Plan, Democrat Party said is necessary to reopen schools during the COVID-19 pandemic. The money intended to be to provide schools resources they need to safely reopen and fully serve their students. Well, when you talk about safely reopening and fully serve their students, what comes to mind for you as to how that money should be spent? Well, wherever you're going, just stop it. Just stop it right there, because you're not going down the right road. There's a Department of Education report showing how states are using these funds and basically pointing out that and some of the questions they have to fill out to get the money, that educators should evaluate and reflect on their school culture, climate, policies, well-designed survey tools, keep all students feeling safe, included, academically challenged and supported. Applications are due June 7th. At least 45, 46 billion to be allocated to 13 states, including California, New York, Illinois, that are already acknowledging they plan to use some of that money to implement critical race theory teaching in schools. What does that have to do with making students safer, even feel safer, and or educate, not indoctrinate? California Department of Education says it's going to use a lot of money, like $15 billion, for high-need topics like implicit bias training. State of New York going to use $9 million to put diversity, equity, inclusion at the heart of our education. Another proposal that schools use social-emotional learning and support the work of anti-racism and anti-bias. It's just another way to get around CRT, and it's using federal dollars in the process. And the teachers aren't going to really have any big problem or concern about it because they've already been told that this is money, or rather these students are your children. According to Joe Biden, that's what he said. We knew a lot of this money was going to be misspent and abused. Some of it flat out stolen. And the government accounting office has documented that in numerous cases. And there will be more. There will be federal investigations. But by then, the money's gone. Who knows where? But then in cases like this where we know it's going to be spent, no one is saying, no, that's not what the intent was. Or using some money like that to tear down a shopping center either, as they're doing in St. Louis County. Coming up, it must be Thursday because Dr. Fake is flip-flopped again. Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Oh, baby, when you talk like that, you make a woman go mad. So be wise and keep on reading the signs of my body. I'm on tonight, you know my hips don't lie, and I'm starting to feel your joy. Come on, let's go. Real slow. Don't you see that this is perfect?
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Since the court has ruled from a legal standpoint, we really cannot reinstitute a mandate right now. What you can do, which is what the CDC is doing, and I think it's appropriate, is to recommending to people when they are on public transportation in which they're in a closed space and they don't have the option of getting out of that at any given time, such as on a train or on a plane or wherever, to wear a mask.
There you have it, Dr. Fake, in an interview done with a New York radio station, lamenting the fact that, well, we can't really force folks to wear masks on a plane anymore because of a judge's ruling recently. And he regrets that it can't be a personal choice. He wants to tell you what you should do.
I think
bear with me just a second here. He wants to tell you what you should do, and I just wonder if Dr. Fauci on a plane is wearing a mask. I wonder about that. But here he is lamenting the fact that we can no longer order you to do that. And in fact, while he believes that we cannot reinstate the mandate and everything because we just can't do it, but he said, well, we're just kind of going to have to regret the government made this decision.
I don't think the government, in fact, I'm fairly certain, there's not much you can do because the court has ruled. So yeah. I think clarity should be there are requirements which can be enforced. In this case, it can't be because of the court ruling.
Yeah, but at the same time, didn't he just tell us yesterday, and I'll answer the question for you, that we're out of the pandemic? Do you remember that? Let's hear it one more time. We're already done with it. Listen.
We are certainly right now in this country out of the pandemic phase. Namely, we don't have 900,000 new infections a day and tens and tens and tens of thousands of hospitalizations and thousands of deaths. We are at a low level right now. So if you're saying, are we out of the pandemic phase in this country? We are.
We are. But I still wish we could order you to wear a mask. And if it weren't for that judge, you would still have to be wearing a mask on a plane until we decide that it's okay. We're out of the pandemic, but you still got to wear the mask. Does that make any sense to anyone out there? Well, of course it doesn't. If you're out of the pandemic, why do you need the mask? Now, if you want to, on your own, you make your own choice for you and your family, feel free to do so. But when you've got here Dr. Fake saying, basically, we're out of the pandemic, I mean, it's that kind of attitude. And I want you to keep in mind that it's not the latest flip-flop he's done. We know that. We've documented numerous times. You say you don't need a mask. It won't do you any good. Oh, you got to have a mask. Oh, maybe now you need two. But if you get the vaccine, you won't need a mask at all. And just goes on and on and on. So let's accept what he just said, that while he regrets he cannot force you to wear a mask, he did just say the pandemic is over and it's done. Well, the interviewer on that radio station in New York raised a question we all want to know.
Doctor, how long do you see yourself staying in the job?
Well, that's, I have always made it clear that I want to make sure that we're in a place where the pandemic is no longer in the pandemic phase. And I believe we probably are there right now. We may be getting to the point where the level of infection would be low enough that it doesn't disrupt society the way it has over the past couple of years and more. When we get to that point where there is some stability in it, then I'll think about moving on. But right now I'm focusing on the job that I have, which is to do what we need to do to keep the country safe.
Okay. All right, doctor. Is our headline then that you're close to saying your work is done here?
No, there's no headline there. I'm just leaving it completely open.
Yeah, I'm not going to get off the government teat. I'm going to stay on it as long as I can. So look for a revival of concern and new fears about COVID. Now, granted, some things going on in China raise legitimate concerns. But again, we don't know how much we're getting out of China that's true fact, other than some viral videos that get shipped out or sent one way or the other. But he's saying, oh, no, I'm not ready to go yet. Even though the pandemic's over, I'm not ready. I'm going to be here. Well, I'm glad he's sticking around. Gives me somebody to joust with from time to time. But let me give you an example, though, reporting as to how he has been built up and supported by state-controlled media more recently, and how big tech, including Twitter, would ban and block anybody that dared confront Dr. Fake and challenge him on anything. CBS reporter Kate Smith been reporting supposedly on abortion issues and abortion stories for the last 2 to 3 years for CBS, supposedly being absolutely unqualified, non-opinionated. Well, here's what she announced on Twitter. Now that I'm not a reporter, I can be candid about my own opinions on reproductive rights. I'll say this, with or without Roe v. Wade access to abortion is disappearing across the South and Midwest for low-income women, and it's happening more or less under the radar. And she went on to say that she is now quitting that job. She has a new J-O-B. What would that job be? She is going to be Senior Director of News Content at Planned Parenthood Federation of America. During her time again at CBS, she just said, my beat is covering abortion access. Now, abortion access suggests you're looking at ways to help them get it or you're in favor of it. I'm not sure. I'll leave that up to you. I've told you previously on reference my past career as a news anchor. A lot of folks did not know my politics. They didn't know if I was conservative, independent, or liberal. Many of them thought I was liberal. Good. Even members of my church would question me because of the way I would interview somebody. They thought I should be chastising, but I was being fair about it. And now that I don't have that shackle of an anchor chair around me and being a news reporter, I am commenting openly. So you could say, well, Larry, you've done the same thing you're accusing Kate Smith of. Actually, no. Because I made sure both sides of the story would be told. But here's her response. I'm looking at a piece written by National Review. One of the writers talking about how she was doing things. He said, in a piece I did last spring, I talked about her extensive history of pro-abortion bias, excluding relevant facts, spinning away from information that would help abortion rights supporters, or rather would be inconvenient, I should say, to abortion rights supporters. And at one time, she wanted to be the first to get an interview with someone that had become president of Planned Parenthood. And her first public interview went to Kate Smith, who opened the conversation with a broad smile and congratulations on the new job. And then got in probing questions such as, how did you first get involved with Planned Parenthood? Softball questions, not doing the right job of being unbiased, but more importantly, making sure that your coverage did not do anything to hurt Planned Parenthood or abortion rights advocates. I'm against abortion, but over the decades of covering various stories and on the air, no one knew my opinion because that was not the place to voice them. I was being fair to both sides. So fair to the extent that one pro-lifer I had on, later members of my church were asking me, why would you grill her like that? Why are you still nasty? I said, I was treating her like I do anyone on the other side as well. Of course, nowadays, folks don't really understand the difference between commentary and news. It's understandable because it's all kind of been put into the same pot when it still should not be. CNN does have legitimate news coverage from time to time, as does PBS and NPR. But generally, it's also tainted, coated with just enough to let you know they have a few. They have a few. So what if a nuclear alert were sounded and you were never told about it? Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, or go to rottner.com.
One, two, three, they're gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
This is
Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. And again, reminding you, in case you got to us late today, we are live streaming our programs now at rumble.com, rumble.com. Go to rumble.com, enter in one word in the search engine, Larry Connors USA, and you'll be able to join us right in studio. Earlier today, around 11:30 today, we had what is basically a standard interruption for stations. I know you've heard them before. This is a test of the emergency alert system. And you might hear a tone and you might hear silence. This is a nationally designated test and required by the government. Has been for decades. And, of course, now we have cell phones, and they can also sometimes pick up that same test, but it's primarily meant for broadcast operations, a test of the emergency alert system. Devised, of course, to let you know if there's a major threat to the general public, not just in your region, but around the nation. I want to share with you what happened one time in a television station in Texas, Amarillo, to be specific. At that time, it would also come across on the AP wire. It would bells would go off, and it would call your attention to take a look at it. We're actually talking about an old teletype. And it would say, this is a test of the emergency notification system. If this were a real test, so forth, so on, you go to a certain one station in every town was designated to be the source you would go to because all the other stations would have to sign off. So there are no signals being scrambled, and there was one source you would go to. For TV stations, also is through the AP and radio as well, we get these notices at that time. And I'm looking at it, and at the bottom of every one of them, it would say this is a test. There would be a code word. We were given every month a new packet that had the dates and code words for each date. If you compared the code word on the authorization test notice to what was in your packet, and they matched, it meant it was real. It was a national emergency. Did not know if it meant a nuclear strike coming or what had happened or what, but I mean, what you were supposed to do is immediately report and sign off if you're not the station designated. Well, I'm still new in the business at that point, but I see it, and I know what we're supposed to do with it, and I go and check the packet, and sure enough, the word matches. Let's say it was, rare steak. And it reads at the bottom of the AP, rare steak. And I go to my packet and I open up for that date, rare steak. Oh, my God. So I'll have a news director known. So we're now in there looking at it, and it's other stuff is now coming across the AP, but we have now verified it matches the word we were given. It's no longer a test. It's a real event. Did we shut off the station? Did we go on and declare a national emergency? No, because we're thinking it's got to be a mistake. So therefore, we really did not do what we should have done. And yes, it turned out it was a mistake. Probably within minutes as we're looking at, the bells start going off again and clarifying the previous, the wrong code word was sent for this day. That was a mistake. It is not, it was still a test. But if we'd gone on the air and said we've been advised to sign off because of a national emergency, or if we were the station they were folks were supposed to go to, telling them other stations will be signing off, we are your national emergency station for this market, stay tuned with us. We'll bring you up to date on this national emergency. That's what we should have done rather than question it. I've often played that back in my head that if it had been a real event, we failed to properly notify the public and fulfill our responsibility. We never got fined or charged with it. I don't know if anything happened to whoever at AP sent out the wrong date information. I have no idea of the background story. All I know is at that moment that we're supposed to be notifying you of a national emergency and it was verified, we didn't do it because we didn't believe it. So now as I watch this Biden administration decide to come forward with a government agency to control disinformation, I'm going to have a real hard time believing that one too. As always, I appreciate you listening. Let your friends, family, even your enemies know about us. Let them know they can listen to us live, watch us live at rumble.com, or later pick up every program on podcast. LarryConnorsUSA.com. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You are listening to KXEN 1010 St. Louis. This is the home of Larry Connors USA.